Do you need to train your children in the Christian ideals of good government? Find out next on Principles and Policies. Hello, this is Chuck Michaelis. I'm the Vice Chairman of the Institute for Principled Policy and the Executive Director of Camp American. And today I am the solo host because I'm on vacation and Barry Sheets and I are having a little trouble communicating due to the fact that we're both operating on wireless devices. Which really doesn't work very well. Somebody needs to be hardwired to make it all work very well on these remote calls. So I am instead interviewing people that I know will be interesting to you folks out there and provide some information that we think you need. And today, as we did yesterday, I'm interviewing Noelle Dielman, who is the program director of Camp American. And also, as we explained yesterday, she's my sister, and we've been doing this camp. She's been doing it for 14 years. I've been involved for about 13 years, and seriously for 12. We're going to talk today about some of the reasons we talked yesterday on about Camp American, and we sort of gave it just sort of the general overview of what goes on at Camp American. Today, we're going to get a little more detail, I think. We're going to discuss reasons why you need to send your kids to Camp American so that we can train them. And in fact, you probably should think about volunteering and coming yourself, because one of the beauties of doing volunteer work is that you also get to sit in on the classes.
Some of the classes.
Okay, yeah, because you will be doing other things. I mean, if you're doing kitchen work while there's a class going on, well, we always make the lectures available to those who couldn't see them by DVD, so you always get your chance. Not a problem. Wouldn't you say that, Noelle?
I would say yes. You'll get to sit in on many classes, even if you're working in the kitchen.
Yeah, we always do our best to provide an opportunity. One of the opportunities you get is you get to meet the speakers and the teachers. That doesn't happen very often, but you've got some really top-notch teachers that are making themselves available and come in and hang around camp.
Right. You're saying that doesn't happen very often. That doesn't happen very often at other conferences and other lectures. But at our camp, they are there. They are available. They want to talk to anybody who wants to talk to them about their topic. So it's a great opportunity to have some one-on-one time with people, for instance, like Larry Pratt, the founder of Gun Owners of America.
He's the executive director, but it was founded by, oh gosh, Richardson.
Well, and then there's Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center.
And he is the founder.
That's right. And Dr. Michael Kaufman, Environmental Perspectives. He is a Christian environmentalist. He studied in the area that we have the camp. He actually did his studies, even though he now lives in Maine. But he has been fighting the global warming fallacy for decades at this point. I have known him for almost 20 years. At this point.
Well, one of the great stories that Dr. Kaufman talks about is the way they put a stop to the Global Biodiversity Treaty at the last minute.
At the very last minute. I mean, it was the final hour, and they literally found the smoking gun, and they somehow got it into key hands in Congress, and they tabled the vote.
Right. Senator George Mitchell, who was leaning toward it, basically once he got the smoking gun in his hand, said absolutely no way, and they put a stop to the vote. It did not pass. The beauty of much treaty passage in the Senate, it's a constitutional requirement that treaties pass by a supermajority. They require 67 votes for passage. That has been a godsend for protecting the Constitution and your liberty, because many, many treaties have come through that have gotten so close to passage, gotten 60 votes, 61 votes, 62 votes. And normally in the Senate, that has 100 members, 51 votes is enough for passage. But in this case, in treaty law, it requires 2/3 majority. So luckily, we've been able to stop a number of really, really, really bad things. And Dr. Kaufman, we always try to ask him about that so he can explain exactly what happened, because that's a real feather in his cap.
It also was divine intervention. And he acknowledges that it was indeed divine intervention that allowed them to find the document that they needed, have it sent to them within 24 hours, and then get it into the key hands. And it was nothing but the hand of God guiding them whole time. And he acknowledges that very much.
Well, as I recall, the document was gigantic. And what they did was they broke it up into sections and gave everybody a section to read and to analyze within the something like 11 hours that they had to look at it. I mean, it came over by fax. And this is much, much earlier, I think in the late 90s. So the technology wasn't there to just be able to say, oh, well, make it a PDF document and attach it to an email and send it on over. No, it had to come over by fax, and it took hours to fax it. And they're pulling it off the fax machine and dividing it up as it comes off. So some people got more time than others to analyze their section of the treaty or of the documents in support. And took a while for them, hours and hours and hours. And believe me, I've been through those things where you have to analyze when we get some legislative documents and you have to have them analyzed in like 5 or 6 hours. Yeah, I've been there. I worked on that with a constitutional convention call in Ohio where suddenly I got word and I had to testify at 8 o'clock in the morning and I got word at 10 o'clock at night, that night before. So I was up all night writing my testimony. So I know how that goes.
Right.
It's hard. It's hard work. So this is the kind of teaching that you will open yourself and your child up to if you send them to Camp America and we'll teach them how to do those kinds of things.
We also focus very heavily on the Constitution and original intent and the Christian principles behind our founding documents. And they're also going to find out why we have certain things in our founding documents. When men of that time, because men of that time were thought biblically, we live in a culture where people do not think biblically. And I think we talked about it yesterday, how unbiblical thinking and even socialist thinking has permeated the thought processes of even good, solid Christian people. And they start to go, well, maybe. And basically, the training you get at Camp American helps you to be able to defend your stand, helps you to fully understand what the founding principles were, why they were there. I actually had a very interesting conversation. I'm actually a massage therapist in my real job.
Let's say a licensed massage therapist, massage.
I do. My specialty is medical massage. And I have a client, and he was talking to me, and he was sort of teasing me, going, yeah, one of these days we're going to make women voters, the women's vote illegal again or something. He was just tweaking me to start a conversation. And I said, well, to 99.9% of American women, that would be such an offensive statement. But I said, actually, in the early days of the United States, the reason only men voted and only property owners voted was because the man was representing the entire family when he cast his vote. And that is a biblical principle.
It's federal headship.
And that's a biblical principle in that the man is the representative before God for his family. He also represents the family in his daily activities. So this person was a little shocked that I would have that view. And
people always are.
Yes. But I actually don't think that it's a bad idea. I also don't think it's a bad idea that only property owners would vote. And the reason for that is that they won't vote themselves into a welfare state. They won't vote themselves into high taxation. If only property owners voted, we would not have the runaway spending that we have in our Congress right now.
It's interesting you bring that up because we're recording this on the day after the State of the Union address. And I know you and I did not watch it. However, I have done some extensive reading this morning and seen the text of it. And you can't have possibly have seen this yet. But the fact is, what the president did was he called for essentially acting as a dictator. Bypassing Congress, he proposed dozens of new programs and claimed that it wasn't going to cost a dime of new money. Well, okay, pardon me, a dime of deficit. Now, what that means is you have to learn to read between the lines, and this is what we teach you at Camp American, how to read between the lines. To read between the lines, what he means is we want to pass a passel of new taxes. So that these new programs won't cost any money in the deficit. Now, everybody that heard that thought it was a joke. Well, it won't cost us more money. How could it not cost us more money? It won't cost us any more in debt because we're going to raise taxes to the point where we can pay for all this. Now, isn't this the kind of thing that young people should be learning?
Absolutely. We have, in case you haven't noticed, or if you live in a cave, we have generations now of people with entitlement mentality. I can't tell you the number of young people. I'm 51 years old, so I've been around a while. I talk with people from age 20 to 40, and I can't even tell you the number of people whose attitude is that employers own businesses so that they can provide people with a job.
Right. That's the purpose.
And I'm sort of like, well, I own a business, but I'm my only employee, and I'm doing this to make money. I'm pretty sure these people that are running businesses are running a business to make money and make a profit and make a living.
It's funny you say that, because I remember years ago, and ladies and gentlemen, believe me, I don't sit around watching this channel, but one time I tuned into the quote-unquote real life on MTV. And if you are feeling really happy and great about things, and if you want to get depressed real fast, tune into MTV and one of their reality shows, because that will really take the wind out of your sails real fast. One of the things they were talking about, this was a season where the group was supposed to start a business. And there was one guy who understood, there was one young man who clearly understood what business was about. And there were six or seven other people who had no clue what it meant to run a business. And one girl made the statement that the purpose of a business is to provide services for the community. The guy who understood business said, no, the purpose of a business is to make a profit. And to make a profit, you find out what the community needs and will pay for. Then you sell that quantity to them at something over your cost. And you make enough money to feed yourself and your family and whatever employees you have. Oh, absolutely not. This had to be a non-profit business. Now, Camp American's a non-profit. And boy, oh boy. Is it a non-profit? Yeah. So, if you want to help us do the work, www.campamerican.com. That's Camp American with an N. Do not go to campamerica.com. I believe that's a camping supply store. But we would invite you to get involved in what we're doing. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, Barry Sheets and I teach a class called the Institute on the Constitution, which we have also taught several times at Camp American. And believe me, I run a test at the end of the camp in the form of a game, and we see how well the kids understand the principles of government at the end of that class by playing this game. The highest scores in my game are always after we teach an Institute on the Constitution class. Now, that being said, when I teach that class, the first question I ask when I get up at the podium, I say, look around you. What is the average age of the people in this room? And the answer is always in the late 40s, early 50s.
This is during your Institute on
this
the
is
Constitution
regular, yeah,
class,
not Camp our Camp American.
American. Right.
And I say, when I said, we need young people in this movement to understand these things. And the best way to get young people to understand these things is to get them to Camp American. Because first of all, we don't kid ourselves that they're coming for the classes. They're coming to meet other kids. They're coming for the fun. But believe me, having been in this situation, Noelle, and I know you have been too, why do we do it this way?
Why do we do it this way?
Yeah.
Because we are training them for their future life. We are training them in their worldview. We're training them to understand the principles of good government, because one day they are going to get married, have children, have a career, have a mortgage, and pay taxes. They're going to care about these things later in their life, and we want to prepare them now because they can fall back on the lessons that they learn at Camp American. And we've already seen the fruits of that. We've already seen people go, I remember them talking
mm-hmm.
about that.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the things I try to emphasize with parents, I hear this every year, and they say, well, I'd love for my teen to come, but, oh, he'd never come. And to that I say, you need to be the parent, and you need to say, you're going. There is no choice. We have kids that have been forced to come to camp, and they show up on Sunday with the long faces, and they're angry, and they're sad, and, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I have to live in the woods for a week. And, well, we pack them up in the car on Monday night. We give them some fun on Sunday night. They have classes on Monday. Then they go out Monday afternoon, and they go water skiing and go-karting, and we provide plenty of recreation for them. And then on Monday night, we pack them up and we take them to the skating rink. Well, they don't have to skate. The skating rink also sets up a bouncy house obstacle course that's better for older people and teenagers. It's not a little kid thing. And by the end of Monday night, they are thrilled that their parents sent them.
And they always come back. Well, we're out of time. as always, just as we get going into this thing, we always run out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.